Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome back, Joanna. And completely lost how to any skills she had in terms of setting up a podcast. Lost. We're going to have to reset the...
Completely gone.
It took us about 45 minutes just to get on here, but we are on. And we're excited to be back. We took a nice needed, I don't call it 30 day. I mean, we were a little active, but a good cold 30 day break. We're not going to really pod with people yet. So putting that out there, full disclosure, we'll be hopping back in shortly here as the season gets going, but we couldn't hold on that long. We had to sneak our faces in and kind of say hi, but also kind of talk about what we've been up to and the new year. But let's just start. Joe, tell me, how you feeling, girl? How you feeling?
I'm good. I got my wrist slapped a little bit today at the doctor's office.
So let's give everyone a recap. Part of the reason we took a break, besides needing one, because the NWSL season is hella long, is because Joanna had surgery.
Another one. Well,
tell us more about your recent surgery.
My recent surgery. So I had my left hip labrum repaired last year. So September of 2020, I was feeling great for about 4.5 months. I was golfing, I was Pelotoning, I was coaching. And then my right side of my back started to hurt. And there went all mobility in all of my right hip. So I kind of knew, I want to say September, I knew that I needed my right labrum repaired just because I knew how the first one felt. So got that surgery, another one, 4 and 6 years. Got that one done December 17th. So I had a right hip labrum repair. And so that was about 2.5 weeks ago. So I had my post-op appointment in Atlanta this morning. And turns out I took myself off of crutches a week too early. So I'm back on crutches. And hopefully they will not be thrown across the room like they were a week ago.
Yes. Joanna likes to take it to the level of, you know, all extremes. We, I came back to Raleigh probably December, 18th. Joanna had surgery the 17th, got right in a car, which is definitely not advised. Okay, drove all the way to Raleigh.
Let me explain myself. I got it done. So we're in Columbus. It's an hour. It's from where I got my surgery done. My surgery's done. It wasn't done in North Atlanta. So it's about 2 hours from Columbus. It just made sense to get my surgery.
No, 2 hours I didn't listen how she gets defensive. I didn't say it didn't make sense. I didn't say it didn't make sense. I'm just saying you definitely take things to the limit. I mean, most people probably would have just stayed in a hotel maybe a day or two to reset. Yeah. And you just get hop right in that bitch.
Absolutely.
So anyway, she was home. I think me and Joanna have quite literally spent every single day together. For indeed. About the last 20 days or whatever it's been, 15 days. It's actually kind of sad because I'm still in Raleigh and they left me to go back to their, Columbus, Georgia. And I'm repping my,
back in the grind.
Stuff. But yeah, it's back in the grind of that and kind of sad because like they definitely were my audience and my fun for the last 2 weeks. In fact, me and Parker are born one day apart. So we threw a little party called New Year's party because Tina was about RIP for 3 days post that event. Probably also why Joanna that night did not seem like she was somebody who had, surgery all of 12 days prior, if not less. But it was a ball. The holidays were a ball. Joe even let me come to some of her fun family events and it was really, really special. And I think in the midst of kind of a crazy last 2 years, there's just a lot to be thankful for, especially being two healthy people. And I'm happy that Joe can finally get this despite it being, quote unquote, an elective surgery, because I know how much it's important to you to be, physically active.
There are three things that I want to do. Coach,
yeah,
Peloton and golf, and I could do 2.5 of those. So,
right, and so Let's briefly get into that since we're on the topic, but I do think it's important to highlight, me and Joe have talked about this, and I obviously don't have the experience with injury as much as Joe has, but you know, any player has had an injury here or there. I've had smaller injuries, nothing surgical, knock on wood. But knowing Joe's journey, right? Two ACLs, this is her second labrum. Honestly, the question I have for you, and I think is I'm curious about as somebody, as a former player, even somebody who may be going through injury right now, is would you say that this was an easier process knowing that you didn't have this expectation of having to get back on the field post-surgery, or do you think it's tougher this go around? Does that make sense?
No. That's a great question. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. This one was really, like, pain-wise was completely fine. Like, I didn't
take. You seemed great. Like, I mean, I don't know, but you seemed great.
Pain-wise, like, phenomenal. Like, I had zero pain. I mean, I probably did, but what is pain now, like, considering everything?
Yeah.
But I'm going to be honest. This, and I was talking with my family about it, like, this surgery, like, has completely taken it out of me. Like, I am so mentally drained from having surgeries. And I know that sounds like maybe a little bit dramatic, but like,
I don't think so. I mean, four surgeries in 5-6 years is very dramatic. That's like a lot of surgeries.
And they always happen during
the month. Joanna has a rough November, December. It's like PTSD.
Yeah. Like, it's hard for me. And like, honestly, like, November and December are tough because like, it's surgery time. Like, I went through 2 years in the holidays where I didn't have a surgery. But other than that, like, it has been surgeries, and it's been, I can't do what I want. I can't walk around the mall. I can't do those things. And my mom calls, you saw it, my CPM machine. It's like with knees, you get a CPM machine to move your knee kind of back and forth to get it like passive range of motion. And my my doctor with my hips wants me to do them with my hips too. So I kid you not, it's this big clunky thing. I mean, it looks like it's from 1980.
It is pretty clunky. It like moves your leg for you, basically.
Yeah. And transporting that has been a pain. And my mom calls it, because Parker played on the CP3 AAU team, she calls it the CP3 machine, and she doesn't mean to. She really thinks she's calling it the CPM machine, but I was just on the phone with her. She's like, you get in that CP3 machine. I know you're tired of it, but you get in that CP3 machine. Like,
so on that, it actually brings up a curious, like, so there's two things I want to bring up that I think are relevant and are important to highlight for people that are either going through injury or have gone through injury. One, I think the more they accumulate, even whether you're coming back, you're retired, whatever the situation be, I think the more fear comes in, because I don't want to speak for you, but I do think, like, typically, right, you do one ACL. It's very common, unfortunately. It's like a very common injury you're seeing every year in women's soccer. I think when you're younger, there's no question in your mind whether or not you're going to recover. It's just a matter of how much time has to go into that. I also think it's a matter of being unknown, right? Like, you don't know the recovery. When you do it twice, you already know what you went through. It's almost like it's the fear of what you have to go through. So that's one thing. And then the second thing is like, just like, you know, the exhaustion mentally of being immobile. I think people don't realize that, like, so many athletes, if you play any sport up to a professional level, like me and Joanna, I think frankly, like, you have to almost, it almost has to be like a mental reprieve, because you can't work out that much, for it not to be like, it would be, you would quit, because you would just be like, this is, I hate this. It's not enjoyable. Like, you have to somewhat enjoy working out to be able to like get to that level. And I think for a lot of us, what's happens is that we retire, we do something different, and now exercise changes drastically, right? We're not putting in as many hours, but it's still a space where we utilize whatever, if it's walking, if it's running, whatever capacity, to kind of clear your mind and be like a mental tool. And so I think that's the hardest part, is like, when I look at someone going through that, where I think if I were to go through it, where my biggest fear would be is just like, not having that escape in a sense, like where if I'm having a bad day, like I can just hit a 15 minute Peloton workout. And for that 15 minutes, I don't think about, I don't know how you are working out, but with me, it's like, I can literally mute my brain. And I'm a deep thinker. Like I go places with my mind. And that's why I was interested about like your recovery, because I know that I felt like this time around, not, you know, I've only been through two surgeries out of the four, but I feel like this time around, especially with the holidays, I felt like it was more of a mental struggle. Am I wrong in that?
No, like, and when it comes to exercise, like I had to stop probably in October. I actually had to stop Pelotoning just because I was in pain. So I'd gotten used to, you know, my outlet was just coaching, and then our season ended, and then I still was, I went recruiting, and then we had like an indoor league that I reffed. So like I was still busy. And then right. I literally went from being so, so, so busy with the season, with
recruiting, like a halt,
with whatever. It was a halt of just, it was a halt of the brain. Like I couldn't work because we were like, everybody was off. And then I literally couldn't move. So between like those two things, this one was mentally like, I wasn't in pain. I could not sleep. And
yeah, super uncomfortable. To be fair, Joanna, I'd go over to her house the first like week, you have to like tie your ankles together. Cause if your hip turns, you can like pop it out or whatever. And it's like super dangerous.
And that's no, just this like, one, this
are you a belly sleeper? Are you belly sleeper?
Yeah. So like I couldn't sleep.
Yeah. That's
I would wake up in the middle of the night with the freaking Velcro things. I was trying to turn myself to my stomach. My Velcro things would make the little like Velcro sound, and then I would wake up and then I couldn't go back to sleep. So it was this one, with completely being like blunt and honest, like I, no pain, like I said, but I cried from December 17th, 18th, 19th, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. I think I cried every night.
I know. I would pop in on her. I knew she was sad.
Yeah. And then like the 24th happened and we went out to dinner and like my nervous system couldn't take it. And like Parker had to like, we had to go home and like, I couldn't eat. I didn't feel well from this one. Like nauseous wise for some reason, I don't know if I had anesthesia or something, but like, I couldn't really eat. Like I tried to eat, like we went to like our Piper's Tavern and I couldn't eat. And so like, I was trying to be like, tough it out. And then like, we finally just left. And then like, I literally broke down in the car. I went and got a Chick-fil-A milkshake. And then like, I came home and I'm like, okay, I don't want to like, I like apologize. Cause I'm like, I don't want to feel these feelings, but it's like, my mom finally was like, okay, like from now on, like, let's tough it out. Like, but if you need to cry, cry, but like, we feel our feelings in this household, like you let them out, but like, let's try to turn over a new positive leaf rather than woe is me. This is just the cards I've been dealt, and turn over the new leaf. But if you feel the need to cry, cry, but let's turn over a new leaf. And then from then on, I was feeling good enough to take myself off crutches, which I shouldn't have, but
it's fine. Okay. We're all good. I think I also was thinking about the fact that like, when you're retired, there's a positive aspect of recognizing that despite, you know, I think people would assume, oh, like, you know, there's no game to prepare for, there's no season to get ready for, right? So you can take your time. And I think that is a benefit in terms of like where you are in your life. But I think from a mental standpoint, there's that challenge of, you have much more perspective because soccer is no longer a priority. So you kind of start putting it in perspective of your life. And not to put you out there, Joe, but I know that this was a fear for you. It's like, Joanna, I remember came to me about a couple of weeks ago and said to me something of like, I guess like your greatest fear is that this is not going to work, right? That despite the surgery, despite the rehab, despite being in your eyes as perfect as you can be in the recovery, that the things that you are passionate about and want to be able to do physically are not going to be an option for you throughout your life. And that's a really dark and real fear. And I can completely understand where that's coming from. And of course, I don't believe that's the case. And I think, you definitely have gone through it in terms of surgeries, but I have good faith in the process that like the things you want to do are going to be right there in front of you in a matter of time. But, I just thought about that today and I was like, that's such a cool, like different perspective that I think, unfortunately, it's probably a good thing, right? Cause you'll probably be more cautious. Cause I feel like when you're a player, you're like, oh, like, no, I'm going to be back. And you kind of like want to rush through it. Cause you just want to get back on that field. But then there's also that mental side, like you kind of mute that, I feel like, when you're a player, but when you're in life and you're married or you have other goals, you want to be a mom, whatever it may be. Or for you specifically, right? You have a very active job. That's like what you want to do with your career. I can totally see that fear. And I'm sure there's a lot of girls out there and men that are in fear of that, even if they don't decide to play professionally, just like, what is this going to be on my body?
And then there's 10, 20 years. There's like that aspect, but then there's also like the aspect of, because like there's then like that, there's like a twofold of like, there's that side of it that you go through, but then you like have to like, then I'm thinking like, am I being too lax that I'm not like rehabbing enough because I don't have to be back on the field. So then it's like, am I doing the right things? Like Joe, if was coming back to play, would have never taken herself off crutches because I'm too anxious. Right. So then it's like, then it becomes like, then the thoughts are also like, okay, like I'm going to PT twice a week. Like if I like, is it too little? Is also like a concept of like, is it too little? Because you see somebody every single day when you're coming back. So it's like it's kind of like, are you seeing somebody too little? Whereas before it's like, you're seeing someone every single day and that pressure is gone. Like the pressure of having to perform and the pressure to be 100% performance soccer wise. But then it's like, okay, I'm a normal person, but I know what I need to do. I know the side of like getting back to being a professional soccer player, but am I doing too little to be back to a normal person?
Can I respond to that? Please. I think as somebody who went through the opposite, I think that there is, I get your guilt and I understand that. And I probably would feel the same way. I do think though, if there's one positive to this all, it's that you have a good understanding of where, of what you want and where. Like, I think the biggest challenge, frankly, physically coming out of a sport is like realizing that you don't need to do the things you used to do. And that is okay. Like we joke about it now, how like, I'll be honest, when I first got out of soccer, I was abusing my body physically. Like I was overworking out. I had nothing to save myself for. I would do like hit like 5 days a week. And I felt like literal shit. I felt horrible, but I was like so used to that intensity. But no one was holding me back and it was so bad for me. And it was like, at one point you wake up and you're like, why am I doing this? I'm literally training for nothing. I mean, Joe joke now how I do like my run jogs. I love them. I'm like, it's amazing. I don't need to run consecutively like ever another day in my life. In fact, I've toned down the running. It's like actually not very good for you, to be frank. And I think that's the positive is like, I get that feeling, but I also think there's perspective here in saying like, the goals you've set, like the three things you talked about are not like, you're not like sitting here like, Tina, I want to run an ultra marathon. I want to like, you know, climb, you know, a mountain. It's like, I want a Peloton, which frankly, like if done right and not abused can be very healthy. Biking is very good for you. It's low on the joints with somebody who's had your kind of injuries. Coaching, like it is physical, but there's ways to read your body and say, what can I do today? What should I be kind of not doing? And golfing, another sport, physical, but not like so like hard on yourself where you're getting hit or like your joints are hitting like bad surfaces. So I think yes, but I also think that like you have to remind yourself that your goals are very reachable and it shouldn't take you to PT 6 days a week to get to those things. Like, not to bring someone up, but to think about somebody who's famous, like look at Tiger Woods, right? Like if Tiger wants to get Tiger bearing again, a much more serious injury with a much longer history of injury, probably one of the most injured players of all time, who's been able to come back to a sport at the elite level. He if he came to someone who was like, I'm trying to go play at that level again, first of all, I don't even know at this point if that's a capacity, like something he can do. But if it was, then maybe like situations like that, you're like, I need to be going in the gym 6 days a week. But I think for what you're trying to do, I think you're on the right track. And I think in the end, it'll be a positive thing that you kind of took your time with this and are not rushing that process, because I think, you know, frankly, Joe, I'm not a doctor, but I feel like we underestimate just the ability to rest, like just give your body a rest, because I think about these players, right? Like imagine we were both playing still in the NWSL and, you know, what was the last game? Like November, I don't know, like in the 20s, maybe like the 21st or something like that. And we're talking about girls entering competitive soccer now in 30 days. That means that they've had what, 65, maybe the like lesser, like teams that didn't make playoffs have had like 80 days. Other girls have had 60 days, whatever it may be. And I'm like, that toll is so significant. And it's a big reason why when we talk to our friends in the league, I'm always like, shut it down. I know you're going to feel guilt because everyone feels guilt when they shut it down, but like truly shut it down, because your body has no opportunity in season to rest. And I'll be on you about this. I think that you should definitely take your time and totally read your body, even if it's frustrating. Like I'd rather you cry and come to me and be like, oh, I just want to get on the Peloton in 3 months, but your body saying, no, I'm not ready, than you actually doing it and it being a problem. But I'm incredibly proud of you. I think.
Thank you.
Just for everyone's insight, I think me and Joe, I think Joe's story is incredibly unique, as unfortunate as having 4 surgeries in 5 years is. But we didn't get a lot into this last season and last year, and I want to get a lot more into injury. I think Joe has a lot of experience that she can talk to. And unfortunately, despite all of the modern medicine, I feel like it's so, how many people are we hearing about that are just going through injury? It's, I'm glad to hear we're now in a world where mental health is also being considered. Like, I don't know what your opinion is on this, but I would imagine when you first did your ACL back, what has it been, 5 years, six, seven,
six. Yeah. Years? Yeah. Six in a couple,
like a couple truly months. And honestly, like social media was still around, but like when you were going through your first ACL, was the mental side of it discussed as much as it is now?
Oh no.
Right.
Yeah. Not at all. I think honestly, like listening to, I can't remember, because I did them in 8 months. I can't remember which knee it was that I was listening to Jordan Angeli and like her ACL club and her podcast, where I finally was
great,
like,
great follow, by the way.
Yeah. I literally was like, oh, other people think this, like other people, these people had these fears. Like it became relatable. Whereas before you just felt like
isolated
and like people would just tear their ACL, have their surgery, and then disappear for 6.5 months, 7 months, and then come back, and then they were back. So it was like no one ever discussed that 7 month recovery. Like it wasn't discussed. You just went, you had your surgery, then you came back in 7.5 months. Like nobody talked about that time. And like that time is, I mean, the recovery between my first and my second, or the recovery during my first surgery and my second surgery, was literally after my second tear, it was the darkest I have ever been. Like deep, dark hole of.
And we're going to get, just so people know, we're going to get into that. I think that it deserves its own kind of podcast to talk through that, but.
Self-pity. Why me? This person, that person.
Yeah. There's a lot to it. I mean, that's why I tell people now, I feel like, being somebody who's obviously gone through my own injury, but have been around a lot of my friends, deep, close friends that have gone through serious injury. It's like when you go to somebody and you know that they're going through that, make sure you're always also asking like, how are you doing your head? Like, I think we're quick to be like, how you feeling? How's the hip? How's the knee? Yeah. How's the wrist? Whatever it may be. But like really look to ask someone like, how are you doing with your mental health? Because it's just not talked about enough. And, we all know how mental sports are, and there's a lot that goes into that, into the recovery process that we'll get into that is really mentally based. It has really nothing to do with what you're doing physically. It's more about your mindset mentally and how you're able to get over hurdles. But I also want to get into some more positive things, despite it is positive because you're going to be doing well. I can't wait to kind of document how you're doing. We'll get updates from you, Joe, as you kind of get back on your feet and on the Peloton
tomorrow at 8 a.m.
Yeah. I wanted to, you know, start, I think we should both answer this, but kind of like, you know, as many of you guys know, this is, we have a lot of plans for the podcast. In fact, I'm currently sitting in our unfinished studio, which is probably why my background looks a little bit better than usual. But, me and Joe have a lot of long-term goals here, some short-term goals. There's some things coming up, but you know, I think we've only really been in this for about 6 months and we've loved every minute of it, despite it being obviously a lot of work. And, we kind of sat down a week ago and looked at our goals and reflected a little, but I'm curious, Joe, like what, you know, in this process, like of getting into the podcast space and really doing this over the last year, like what was some takeaways for you, like in terms of things you learned? And that can be about the process, yourself, whatever it may be. What were some things?
No, I've learned so much. I've been so grateful for this thing because being able to, one, collect my thoughts, two, getting so many different inspiring stories on and really diving into specific questions and in things that maybe these girls would have never been asked before, were asking these questions. And the amount that I've learned back and kind of getting two or three takeaways from each pod that I didn't know about the person. And these are some of them were some of my really close friends. Like I didn't know these things. And for me, as a coach, it's honestly helped me be a better coach because I'm taking some of these little nuggets that I've learned from each podcast we've done. And I'm translating them in, you know, if a girl comes in, we're talking about something like I can pull from, it's just like reading a book, you know, you pull different concepts, different ideas from different leaders and different in authors and experts. And I think the coolest thing is that I'm learning from my former peers. I'm learning from people that, you know, are friends and that I look up to, and to be able to take nuggets from every single pod and being able to translate that into, okay, that just made me a better coach. Like, yep. It's translating myself into becoming a better coach by listening to all of these stories and their opinions, their thoughts, their experiences. It's just been super, super rewarding. I think rewarding is kind of what I would say if I could sum it up with one word.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the first thing that comes to mind is, oh my gosh, running a podcast is a lot of work. In a really great way, but it's definitely like much more than I think any of us, I think it's much more than I thought, right? Going into it, I was like, oh, like, I mean, this is probably the easiest part because me and Joanna love to chit chat, but like, there's a lot that goes on in the background and, but it's been really exciting because I feel like, you know, all of you who've been on this journey with us, we're like so appreciative of your support. You know, I think me and Joe really want to take this in a lot of different directions. I mean, we're definitely, you know, still very focused on soccer, but there's so much, to Joe's point, like so many people we want to talk to that we think could be a benefit, not only for you guys, but for us, in this growth process. And, yeah, I think just for me, I agree. I feel very blessed. It was really nice to see the like other sides of these women that, make up this league and kind of talk a little bit, you know, more about like who they are beyond, a player. And I think, what I realized more is like, you know, I'm so passionate about that because I feel like so many of us believe our identity lies in our ability as a player. And then you talk to these girls and you're like, wow, like there's so many extra layers there of like, just unique experience or just like brilliance that you're like, wow, like, you know, whatever you do, you're going to be successful. So, definitely gratitude, and excitement. I'm really excited. I like feel like we have a lot of fun stuff coming up. I'm excited to get some new women on the pod. And, I think we're in an exciting year here with the NWSL, the growth and the kind of, I'm excited to see where we land. I'm hoping COVID kind of makes things a little bit more in person and we can enjoy it more, but, Yeah. And I love your point, Joe, about using this. I think for anybody listening or anybody that does their own podcast or whatever it may be, like, so important to take experiences in your life and apply it to other aspects of your life. Like, yes, Joe's a coach, but there's so many things that go into coaching beyond just like X's and O's and your ability as a player. Like, you're dealing with people, and dealing with people is basically what we all do, right? Just in different ways. And I just think that's so, so, so important. So on that, what about, give me one personal goal for 22.
Okay.
And then give me a top goal, and I'll give you a second to think.
I feel like because it's the new year, I should like have already thought about this, as a personal goal. I think for me, a personal goal is, you know, 2021, was amazing because I found something that I'm passionate outside of just playing soccer. So for me, I think it's the continuation of growing as a coach and being comfortable as a coach and learning from Jay and from anybody and everybody that I can. And it's a continuation of literally waking up every morning and being happy. And for me, like, I can legitimately say in 2021, I woke up every single day happy. You know, obviously not every single day, but literally 98% of the day, like, I was legit happy. So for me, it would be a continuation of being happy and continuing to learn and grow and be just a sponge to Jay and all, you know, all the coaches that I can learn from, and even the girls, like, how can I learn from the girls to be a better coach? And then for TWAP, for me, I really want to continue to, you know, find ways. I want to continue and be an outlet for people in the game, whether that be in it, playing, coaching, out of it. I want to make kind of the way that, like, girls are, like, if they tear an ACL, they can go to the ACL club. Like, I want girls who maybe are thinking about, you know, stepping away from the game, have graduated and are not continuing to play, or have been out of the game for a while. Like, I want them to feel like they have a home and kind of a space with us wash-ups here that, like, they can turn on and listen to and relate to, because I know what, like, kind of the ACL club did for me when it came to, you know, I thought I was the only one in that space. And then you turn on this podcast and you're listening to everybody's stories about, you know, their experiences. I want to be able kind of the go-to for people transitioning out of the game of, okay, maybe I can hear through stories. I can talk to these girls. I can listen. I can feel like I'm, you know, I know them. If I don't know them, or if I do know them, I can just say they're idiots, but I love listening to them. I kind of want to be really grow into that space and help that kind of sector out of females and men.
Yeah. That's a great goal. It's actually makes me feel very good because my answer is similar, and that makes me think that we're aligned, which is great since we're doing this together.
Yeah, we didn't talk about this before.
We did not. This is like off the cusp. You know, if you know me, this is not a shock at all professionally. I have dreamt since I was a little girl to be in sports, and my dream was fulfilled in playing professional soccer. And I always told myself I wanted to get back and give back to a sports industry. Probably preferred women, which is probably not the usual preference, but just knowing how it works and the people it needs to have in it. My goal, obviously, professionally is to, one way or another, find my way back to kind of serving professionally, to women's sports. It's something Joe knows I could talk for days on. I'm very passionate about it, and hoping that that will happen in time, and I can have a direct impact in the growth and progression of a league or of women. And the good thing is regardless of how that transgresses, my TWAP goal is very similar to Joe's, and it's another opportunity to kind of fill my personal goal in that, if we can just influence, you know, honestly, like a handful, a bunch of women who are feeling lost in their identity due to a sport or in need of some type of guidance, whether it's our guidance or the guidance of a, of another person or specifically a professional, because we're not, you know, we're not professionals in certain areas, like whatever that looks like, if we can have a hand in that process, for me, that's a win on the year. That's why we started this. I just feel like so many of us have, you know, when you're young, especially, it's very hard to sort through your identity. And when your whole life is, you know, centered around the, you know, attention you receive from your ability in a sport, it's very, very challenging, not only to exit, but even decide to leave, right? Because if you're if the unknown to you is so scary, you know, like me and Joanna both, we kind of had forced reasonings for why we left the sport. I'm not sure if that had not happened to me personally, I would have ever left, right? Because I didn't know what I wanted next. And I felt very tied to my identity and what it was as a player. So yeah, I'm hoping that, like, we can, as you said, if we can be a resource to as many women as possible, including those that are in the league, I think that's a great focus of ours, is that we really want to also be a resource for people still playing. And yeah, I want to have tons of fun. This mm-hmm. is really enjoyable. I think this is like the first thing, in my life where I, you know, as much as there's a lot of work, it's like, I come to this even on my bad days with just a lot of joy. And, I'll say it, and I say it all the time, I'm very thankful it's with you. You know, I think this is the best pairing I could have asked for. And, yeah, I think I'm excited. We have a lot coming, guys. We have merch coming. We have cool guests coming. There's a lot. And I'm hoping as time progresses, that only gets bigger and better. At some point, me and Joe will actually be recording in the same space, but, this is the amazing part of 2021, is that, like, you know, like, we can still do this, and Joanna can pursue her, what she's pursuing down in Georgia right now, and kickstarting her coaching career. And, it's an exciting way to kind of see how the world shift. And I just wanted to also add that I think with COVID, I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like COVID took so much from us. Mm-hmm. I love that you kind of just highlighted the fact that you had a lot of joy in 21. I feel like I had a lot of joy as well. A lot of things that I had struggled with in the past really, like, left me and were no longer things. And despite obviously being a tough year for a lot of people, I'm very thankful for that. And, but I also think I find joy in much littler things now, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you feel that way. Like, I just feel like COVID, it's like, it's just put a lot in perspective for me. Especially when you can't, like, do a lot, right? Like, we can't, I mean, you can still do more now, but at one point, right, we weren't leaving our homes and stuff. No. So, just like the ability to enjoy the people I love and be thankful that they're all healthy is like a win for me on the year.
Yo, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Which is why Joanna's husband's already deciding our Christmas vacation for 2022.
God bless them. I love them so much.
I wish I was joking, people. Parker Fenema has us ready to go for the next year.
I mean, he made a PowerPoint last night.
Yeah. So I'm hoping this is like our big shebang on a great TWAP year. But yeah, me and Joe wanted to hop on. I'm sure we'll pot a little bit more before we get started with players. But yeah, we're back.
We're back. Fired
up. I'm ready. We have good energy flowing. And again, thank you so much for supporting us in 2021. We're excited to get on this ride with you for 2022. And like always, this is a community. You can always message us. We would love to hear some of the girls you guys are interested in listening to and wanting us to get on. You know, we're open to anybody, NWSL, overseas, whatever it looks like, college, you know, we'll get them all on. We'll talk it honest and everything else. So anything else, Joe, you want to add?
You said it all, sister.
All right. Love you guys. We'll see you too. TWAP's out.